led him to the Lord, when he repented of his sins and received Christ as his Savior. Well, that's what the Bible says is necessary to receive Christ as your Savior. Believe that he died and was buried, rose again the third day, and then receive him into your heart. I mean, that's what it says. And but I appreciate that anybody will give their life for that. I believe tonight that should motivate us to talk more, to say more, to witness more. It motivates us, but then I'm sure that it scares people, because surely you don't think that's going to be the only one. Persecution is going to start even more. But the Bible says those that will live righteously and godly, you know, those who's going to live right, they're going to suffer persecution. And it's going to happen. So just keep on telling the story. And if we go by a martyr, well, what's the song they sing? I can go in. All right? And it sings that song about the first part of the verse, then was the martyrs. And the old boy said, well, I can't go with that bunch. Well, we may be going in with that bunch. So if that's to be the case, then so be it. So be it. All right, who needs a Bible study paper? Colossians chapter 3. Anybody need one? All right, there's a couple back there in the back. But that's okay. They're usually downstairs. That's okay. They're allowed. The rest of you got 23 of them apiece. All right. I'm glad you got them. All right. It should be. Should be verses, the paper should start at verse 16, if that's y'all got the right one. 16, 17, 18, husband, children, that's what's on there. That's one you got?
It's all good. It's all good.
You got a paper?
Yes,
you
does.
Well. That's wonderful. All right. But you got a paper, that's okay.
I got a paper.
And you need a right one? Somebody bring Cheryl one of the right ones. It should say verse 16, 17, 18. All right. Yeah, if somebody can bring Cheryl one, I'd appreciate it. It's perfectly all right. I never said a thing. Listen, we're going to be on the husbands before this night's over, and I've got to do better. But we're not done with the women. Dear. So. All right. We be the Boone family. In case you need to know. All right. Anything else? Anybody got a word? Let's pray together. Then we'll look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is where we'll be tonight. All right? Let's pray together. Father, I come just now, and Lord, you are so wonderful. And Lord, you are worth living for. You're worth dying for. And you're worth living for. And then you're worth me dying daily for. That I die to self. I thought, as Austin, they prayed, help me not to be like me, help me to be like you. And Lord, I ask for that tonight. I ask you to cleanse my mind, my heart. It's not a question if I've done wrong. I have done wrong, and I'm sorry. And I ask you to remove anything and everything that's hurtful to you in any way, anything that I don't think is a lot, Lord, anything is a lot. And Lord, remove the little things, the big things. Forgive me, cleanse me. I want to be where I need to be tonight. Lord, I pray that you might help me to be the pastor that I need to be the friend that I need to be. Lord, I need to be the husband that you want me to be, that you tell me to be, the daddy, the papa. Lord, I need to be the servant you want me to be, the child you want me to be. Lord, it's not my own way. God, help me to get out of it wanting my own way. Lord, I want your way in my life tonight. Give me power, give me wisdom, and Lord, give me strength spiritually, physically, and mentally to teach tonight as you see fit, and may you get all glory, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we left off week before last. We didn't have this study last week, so let's go back, and let's start at verse 1 in Colossians chapter 3, and let's just start at verse 1 and read. And verse 4, you should mark that in your Bible because this is the key, all right, that Christ is our life. And we want you to understand that we're not to have a secular life and a spiritual life. We're to have a spiritual life. And we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not the same no more. We're a new creature. And we're supposed to live as Christ has laid out in His Word. And this Bible is the directions to live the way we should. And He has given us everything necessary to live a godly life. He even tells us that we have everything to live a godly life with Him. And we have Christ in us. Remember that. We have Christ. If you're a believer, if you've been saved, you have Christ in you. Now, if you're not saved tonight, then you're lost. You're not going to be lost, but you're lost now, and you're on your way to hell. And that you need to understand that, and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. He did pay your sin debt. You was guilty and are guilty before God. He paid your sin debt on Calvary with His blood. And somewhere you're going to have to bow down yourself and repent of self and sin, receive Christ as your Savior, and He will born you anew and give you a new life, and you get to be in the family. Huh? That's what it's all about. And then live for Him. So let's start in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. And all these things we've been teaching all these weeks, we ought to be seeking these. If we're failing in any of these, and I fail in most of them, and probably I know I failed in all of them at one time or another. Most of them, it seems like I'm continually doing. But I ought to be seeking to do it, all right, because I am risen with Christ. So I ought to be seeking these things. So it says, if you do be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, now, we mark that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Now remember, these are things that we are to do, that the Lord will not do for us, that after He saves us, He gives us the ability, and we are commanded to do these things. Now, it says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Well, them are two tough ones, ain't they? If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. 13 is a tough verse. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now that's chapter 3 read, and I hope I read it correctly. All right, if not, the Lord would forgive me for that. I meant to read it correctly. And we look back at verse 18, and that's where we've been at. We've been on wives submitting yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, let's go back and review just for a moment. Now, when we look at this submission, all right, this is not the husband getting the woman by the neck and submitting her that she bows down and caves in. That's not what that is. All right, that has nothing to do with it. But this submission is in a line of order here. And if you'll look, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Children, obey. All right, that's children then submitting to their parents. Fathers, provoke the servants, obey. Verse 22, that's employees submitting to employers. Okay, it goes right down the line. Romans will teach us that we are to submit to the government. All right, there's many, many areas of submission that we need to think about that. Let's think about it again. A wife to her husband, children to their parents, believers to the elders of the church in Hebrews chapter 13, citizens to the state in Romans 13, servants or employees to their masters or employers, and he'll even tell us that again in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then one that we fail to practice probably just as much as any, Ephesians will tell us that we submit ourselves one to another, that each believer is supposed to be submitting one to another. And a lot of this is that we're not, there's no hierarchy. There's nobody any better than the other. That the ground's level at Calvary. You become equally as sinners, and we go away from Calvary equally saved, and there's nobody better than the other. Does everybody understand that? The man ain't better than the woman. The woman ain't better than the man, the children. And that submission then goes that we are concerned about others, that we want others to treat us like we want to be treated, that we treat people in a whole different fashion than what we're accustomed to. And when we look at this submission, it gets deep in that. All right. Now, submission and surrender is two different things. All right. We're not talking about surrender here. We're not talking about giving up and just caving in. We're talking about wives, submit yourself to your own husband. All right. This is the submission is a conscious act of you, by you, to submit continually, not just one time, but on a continual basis to your husband and his leadership. All right? Because it's a desire to obey God. See, when you fail to submit to your husband, then you're disobeying God. Now, you need to understand that, because that's what the Bible lays out. That's what he said. Now, it didn't say, well, he's always wrong. That ain't what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say, submit when he's wrong, or submit when he's right, and don't submit when he's wrong. The Bible says, for wives to submit to their own husbands. He's not going to be right all the time, but you're to help him, okay? You're to help him. Biblical submission allows a wife to confidently follow her husband's lead. Now, fellas, we're supposed to be leading. You're supposed to be leading your home. If you're not leading your home, then you're a stumbling block to your wife, because she's going to have trouble submitting if you're not leading. You need to be leading. You say, well, I don't want to do that. Then you're wrong with God. You are to lead. You are to lead. And then the wife submits and follows. That's the Bible way. Now, this ain't just our relationship. This is our relationship with God. If I'm not leading, I'm not right with God. If the wife's not submitting, she's not right with God. Now, people say what they want to say and give all kinds of excuses, but that's the bottom line, and that's what the Bible teaches. And you need to understand that. Now, it don't matter if you like it or not. That's immaterial. Everybody understand that? All right? Now, a submissive wife, all right, and if we look at the context of marriage, okay? Now, think about this. Husbands or wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Now, that's not women submitting to every man, all right? The Bible does teach that man is the head of woman, all right? It does teach it, right? But can I tell you, the obligation is to a wife to her own husband. That a husband's to love his wife, and a wife is to submit to her husband. Everybody understand that? Now, the other authority comes in other places. Employees, servants, members, everything like that. Everybody understand? But the main, what we're talking about here in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, look, as it is fit in the Lord. Okay? Now, when you submit, now we're going to get down in them. We didn't look at Proverbs 31, and we might look again there in a moment. But listen to me now. All right? It's one who yields her will and desires to her husband. She wills. She wants. She wants. You need to get your heart in the position that you want to follow your husband. Are you following me? Are you hearing me? That you will prioritize his needs above your needs. Huh? Prioritize his decisions above your decisions. You need to respect his leadership. You need to respect his leadership. Well, I don't like the way he does it. You need to respect his leadership. See, don't forget, ladies, he's not complete without you. The husband is not complete without the wife. When Adam was created, and all the animals created. The scripture says, and there was found not one for Adam. So God made him a helpmeet to complete him. Because everything else was completed. And the wife is it's not the whipped cream on the dessert. All right? If anything, it's the crust holding the filling. Okay? You understand that? It's a vital part, all right? Any man that says they don't need a woman is an ignorant man. Okay? Any man that says they can really do without a woman, I'm going to watch you. Now, I know the Bible says it's good for a man never to touch a woman. Well, if you can devote yourself to the Lord and not lust and do all that, that's what it's saying, go ahead. All right? But can I tell you that there ain't too many of them running around. All right? Now, there are some guys running around liking guys, but that ain't scriptural. We're all right with that now. Now, wives, when we talk about a submissive wife, respect his leadership. Now, listen to me now. Seeking his approval. Now, it's God's approval, but you seek his approval too. We still okay? Now, we're not talking about blind obedience. And we're not talking about being suppressed. All right? We're not talking about being a slave. We're talking about purposely getting in line of authority like the Bible says. Everybody understand that? But you got to do it a purpose. He ain't going to do it for you. You're going to have to do it. All right? Are we still okay? Now, here maybe we can respecting leadership, okay? Acknowledge the husband as the head of the household. All right. Respect his role as a primary decision maker. All right. Prioritizing his needs. Putting his needs, it don't mean you don't have any needs, but you're willing to put his needs first. Go back and read Proverbs 31. I think we're going to have to do that, ain't we? Yielding to his decision. All right? Seeking his approval. Now listen to me. A submissive wife avoids conflict. Now, let me say that again. A submissive wife avoids conflict. All right.
We're here.
I know you're here. Hearing's not the issue. Listening is the issue. Now, it's going to be just so quiet here in just a minute. All right. But anyway, that's what we want to think about that. All right. Everybody with me there? Now, we went over a bunch of stuff in the past week, so we're not going to go back and do it all again. But let's run over to Proverbs chapter 31 real quick and just refresh your minds. The ladies, in no way is this degrading. In no way is this you being less. In no way at all. All right? But can I tell you, it is challenging, is it not? Is it challenging, yes or no? Because you got to purposely will that. And remember that it's not just being unsubmissive to your husband, but if you're unsubmissive to your husband, you're unsubmissive to the Lord. You're not being led of the Holy Spirit. You're not obeying the Word of God. Your prayers are hindered. Your spiritual life is not what you may want it to be or may think it is. Because it's a choice. Just like us husbands to love you, all right? It's our choice. We're commanded to do it, but yet the Lord ain't going to make us do it. All right? Are we still okay? Let's look at Proverbs. Let's just go through just for a little bit. Let's start at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? Y'all worth something. All right? All right, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he still has no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. And I remember I reminded you that's not McDonald's. Okay. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. All right, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to this staff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. I mean, she fixes up herself. She looks like a lady. She looks like a woman. She ain't just got always got work clothes on. And the rag on her head and the knee pads on, which been scrubbing floors. That ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about she's a wife meeting the needs of the husband, loving her husband, submitting to her husband, and seeking his desires and seeking his leadership and his approval, willingly doing all this, taking care of the household because that's her responsibility. There's a lot involved there. And it's going to be easier for her to do that when the man is in his place. Okay? Strength and honor are her clothing, verse 25. And she rejoiced in time to come. 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. And in her tongue, sometimes you got to get it worked on. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, verse 27 is important. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And we're living in a day now where women are not housewives. They're not wives. They're not housewives. They're not mothers. In fact, they're almost too lazy to be a couch potato. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's the truth, and that's the day we're living in. But yet the Bible says that... Now you say, well, where does it say this is a submissive wife? This is a picture of a perfect wife. This is a picture of a Bible wife. Alright? And this is a picture of what you can be. Okay? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Huh? Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excelleth them all. Alright? So these are things, and we look at our wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Anybody got any questions about wives submitting to their own husband? Now, I know that's not 2025 mentality, but 2025 mentality is ungodly.
Yeah.
All right? Now, can I tell you, you can't be a wife unless you got a man as a husband. All right? Because it's husband and wives, all right? Wives and wives, women and women don't have wives. One's a man, one's a woman, all right? They don't work like that. It takes a male and a female to be husband and wife. That's it. And that's the only way. That's the only way. That's the only thing that God accepts. Everything else is sin and abomination. Now, let's look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Well, let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 25. Remember, Colossians and Ephesians go together. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how we are to love our wives. Husbands, guys, let's listen. Husbands, love your wives. Colossians says, verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Ephesians says, husband, love your wife. How do I love my wife? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, how does the Lord love you? That's how you see about your love for your wife. How does the Lord love you? How much mercy does the Lord show you? How much grace does the Lord show you? How much patience does the Lord show you? That's how we are to love the women. Now, do they deserve it? Yes. You know how I know? Because the Bible says that their price is far above rubies. Okay? Now, if we don't love like we're supposed to, we're not right with God. Our prayers are hindered. Our spiritual life is not what it's supposed to be. We're disobedient unto God. And that's just the way it is. This is why our churches are dead. This is why there's turmoil in the home, because of unloving husbands and unsubmissive wives. Okay? Now, the wives sometimes say, well, you just don't know my husband. Well, we don't want to leave this out. Let's look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter, because we're going to be going back there in a moment anyway. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Just let you understand that if you're in subjection the way you're supposed to be, and your Christian walk is the way it's supposed to be, you can win your husband that is not saved. Amen, preacher. Okay? Just so you'll know that. All right? And as verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. There's a lot in Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Peter and lots of the scripture about our conversation. There's a lot about the tongue in James. There's a lot about our conversation in Ephesians and Colossians. 1 Peter. There's a lot about how we interact one with another. There's a lot about in the scripture when he's talking to the church and he brings it down to the home. There's a lot in there how we're supposed to be acting. Y'all can't hear me. Okay? Now, yeah, you say, well, this is all tough. No, this really ain't tough. This is the normal Christian life. This is not super Christianity. This is normal Christianity. If you've been saved a day or 80 years, it's normal Christianity. Okay? But we don't like it because we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. We don't care who likes it. And that's how we are to the Lord, and that's how we are to everything else. And that's just the way it is. All right? So when we bow up again to Scripture, all right, we say, well, I don't know about all that. I know that's Bible days, yeah? Can I tell you that this was so harsh when this was written because women were treated as merchandise when this was written. They weren't even treated like a person. They were treated lower than a slave. All right? They were sold, give away. Men practiced whoredom. They thought they had the right to. That was the idea of the day. And they were not faithful to their wives. And the wives were not faithful to the husbands. All right? And it was an ungodly mess. And Paul's writing this from, as the Lord laid it out there, to write to the church and said, this is how they're supposed to be treated. This is how they're supposed to act. And can you imagine how they bowed up in the back? Huh? Can you imagine how they bowed up in the back? Said, what do you mean? That ain't the way my daddy's done it. Yeah, but your daddy was a heathen. Probably burning in hell now. Right? So we got to look at the way the Scripture lays out. Husbands, love your wife. Now, I want you to listen to me now. Colossians 3:19. Now, when we talk about husbands and wives and relationship, all right, the husband and wife relationship is the backbone of the church. That's why it's written as an epistle to the church. That's why it's written where it's written. Everybody understand that? You got the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You got the Gospel of how to get saved. All right? Then you got how the churches were formed in the book of Acts. And then from Romans all the way through the Revelation, you got the epistles on how the churches act. And it's talking to husbands and wives. Why is that? Because that's the backbone of the church. So go the home, so go the church. If the home ain't right, the church ain't going to be right. Okay? Now, Colossians 3:19, when we think about this love, now we're talking about like the Lord loves. Well, if that's the way the Lord loves, all right, it's going to be a deep sacrificial love. All right? We all right, guys? All right? But let's go further. It's going to be an active love. All right? When did the Lord start loving you? Somebody tell me, when did the Lord start loving you? Before you were born? How about before there was even a creation? Before there was anything? When did he stop? So it's a continual love. Would I be correct in saying that? I believe it does not. Jeremiah, is it 31? It says he has loved me with an everlasting love. Alright? So that means everlasting is back, from back yonder to up yonder, right? That's from eternity past to eternity future. Right? Is that right? So this love that we're supposed to be loving our wife with is a sacrificial love, but it's an active love. That means it's a continual love. Alright? It's a continual love, and it's not with bitterness or resentfulness. Because it says in the last part of that verse, and be not bitter against them. Alright? It's going to be a selfless love. Now listen to me carefully, guys. It's going to be one that considers the wife's well-being, not just her well-being physically, but her spiritual well-being. Remember, we're loving our wife like Christ loved the church. We're supposed to be the spiritual lead of our home. And we're supposed to be making sure that our wives mature spiritually just like we are to mature spiritually. Because that's how Christ loves us. That we're all brought into the unity of faith. Are we still okay? It's Ephesians 4. Talk to me, guys.
Yeah.
All right, and then let's hang in there. Alright, can I tell you, who's responsible for my spiritual growth to making sure that I'm fed? Christ is. That's why Christ moved in. He moved inside of me that I might be like Him. For Christ is my life. Does anybody here believe that? That is Christ in me, hope of glory. And that's the reason He came in. Listen to me. Listen carefully to this statement. Alright? Listen carefully. The blood of Christ delivered me from the penalty of sin. Do you believe that? I believe the blood of Christ, right? The cross of Christ delivers me from the power of sin. You understand? Now let me say that again. The blood of Christ delivered me from the penalty of sin. He justifies me freely by His blood. Okay? But then He moves in and I'm to die daily. Therefore, the cross is not out of my life. The cross He died on is not out of my life. The cross He died on is an everyday part of my life. And that delivers me from the power of sin. Alright? Because I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Are we okay? Now, with that love, I am to love my wife. You're to love your wife. You're to love your wife just like that. Now, Christ is interested in my spiritual growth because He moved inside of me to deliver me from the power of sin. If He had not moved inside of me, I would not have no deliverance from the power of sin. But because He moved inside of me, I have the power in me. Are you understanding? Because Christ liveth in me. Does everybody understand that? That's why He moved in. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? See, He saved me by what? By His blood. That could have been enough. He could have took me right on to glory. But He didn't. He left me here and moved inside of me that I may be more than conquerors. Huh? Now, with this, I am to my job. If Cheryl don't grow spiritually, it's not the preacher's fault. In this case, it's the preacher's fault, but it's the husband's fault. Because I have a duty to my spouse to bring her along to help her grow spiritually. Because I'm the leader. Guys, that's the way it's supposed to be. But I'm afraid it's the other way around in a lot of ways. Now, I need to consider her spiritual well-being. I need to support her growth. I need to provide for her needs, not just physical needs, not just material needs, but spiritual needs. Huh? Just like Christ loves the church. What does the Lord give the church? Does He not give it? He gives the church all the spiritual gifts. Go through and just look and then compare. I mean, there's nothing to be withheld from our wife. Spiritually. Okay? Now, that does not mean I got to be a millionaire financially. Huh? But can I tell you that today, as a Christian, I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. Huh? I may not have two needles rubbed together, but I'm a millionaire. Why? Because I got Christ. Well, that's the way they should be understood. Are we okay? Now, when we get to this, guys, this is tough, all right? But that's the way it is. Now, the command to avoid the bitterness is especially important. It says, husband, love your wife and be not bitter against them. All right? If we're not careful, we'll love them. But if they don't come across just right, and they don't receive the love just right, or if they get a burr, just like a horse will get a burr in their tail, huh? Then we get bitter. Everybody understand that? Then our prayers are hindered. They're not going no further than the ceiling. That's the way it is. All right? We got to guard against resentment and harshness. Let me ask you this now, and listen to me now. You say, well, preacher, you don't do it. Listen, I have failed so much, I didn't even, I wished I could just mark this verse out. I really do. And I tried my best to find an easy way to teach on submission. All right? And it ain't there. It's just blunt and the way it is. But then when it says, husband, love your wife, and I read where it's supposed to be like Christ loves, I've done failed. But can I tell you that the harshness that we love, man, that ain't like the Lord loves. How many here has been talked hard to from the Lord? He don't speak hard to us. He don't speak sharp to us. I got a sharp tongue, and I'm wrong. Are you listening to me? That harshness is not the way Christ speaks. Is it not a still small voice? Is it not a sweet voice? Do we sing the songs and praise Him for that sweet voice that He speaks to us with and that loving voice that He speaks to us with? Huh? Well, let me just ask you, has anybody here been spoke to by the Lord when you have your communion and worship and He speaks and it's sweet? Huh? Maybe that's why we don't get along with the wife. Because we're not sweet. Huh? Where's Rebel? Is she in here? She slipped out. I was going to remind her I'm not just brutal. Eddie White said I was sweet, but he don't know me. Now listen, this love for our wives is not an emotion. If you look it up to what it means, it's a proactive word. All right? It's an active thing. It's not an emotion. Love is not sex here. All right? It's the intimacy without sex. It's the intimacy of holding hands and fellowship. It's the intimacy of being one without sex, of one mind. Now, whatever Christ said for His disciples to be, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Right? And it shows a complete sacrificial giving. That's the way our love is supposed to be to our wives. Are we okay? I mean, that's just the way it is. Right? It's an ongoing action. It's not just an emotion. Right? It's continually demonstrated. Right? Continually. Now, I swear Andy Griffith shows it more right than anybody with that Boone family we laugh about. And of all the dish thrown and cup thrown and everything. And if they that's the way they got along and they loved everybody else. But when they tried to love one another, they hated everybody else. And is that not us? Let me ask you this. You ever bite somebody's head off at work because things wasn't good at the house? Did you? Did you ever have less patience on the job because something rubbed wrong down at the house? I'll tell this, and I hope they go back and listen to it. But my sister Cindy, her husband John, used to be my boss in the mines. And living with Cindy, I always tease her about that's Satan's sister. It's not mine. But anyway, we worked two now. We worked midnight. So that was the dead work. And we put in belts and move the section, do all that. Well, you could always tell when John and Cindy were fighting. Because we'd done three nights work in one night. He would work us in the ground. There was no let up. I mean, just lunging and pulling and the hard way and everything. I mean, it was just really. But then when they would get along, boy, it would be a nice, easy, the normal day. But boy, you could tell. And that's all what we always said. Hey, y'all not getting along tonight, are you, John? I mean, it was that bad that all the men knew. All right? Can I tell you that's the way it is? That's the way it is in church. You know, there's no reason why we shouldn't have a spiritual service, a wide open spirit, every service. And the reason we ain't, because we ain't got a spiritual home. Let me go ahead and say that again. The reason we don't have spiritual service is because we don't have a spiritual home. And that same resentment that we have down at the house, we bring into the house of God. And it spreads. The same fault that we find down at the house with our spouse, we come to church and find the same fault with the ones we go to church with. Are you hearing me? And that's just the truth of it. All right. Now, this selfless and sacrificial love, all right, it ought to be aimed at the highest good for our wife. It ought to be what's going to be the best for them, all right, for her spiritual growth, that she may bring glory to the Lord. All right. Now, you go back there and read. In Proverbs, it talks about she takes care of her husband, that he's praised in the gate. All right? But we're supposed to love her, our wife, that she is envied by the world. You understand that she's lifted up above everything. Okay? Now, husband, we're supposed to be a positive influence. We're supposed to be helping them be more holy. Let me ask you this. Guys, how many of us strive to make our wives more holy? Now, I'll tell you how we try to do it sometimes. We'll try to do it. We'll make them dress a certain way and think it's holiness. The holiness ain't on the outside. It's got to start on the inside. It'll come to the outside. We okay? Now, this command to avoid bitterness now, all right? We need to avoid the harshness and the resentment and the anger. Now, listen to me. And the oppressive attitude. Everybody listening to me? Tough, ain't it, guys? Huh? I got wrote down here something about this practical application here. You just don't be the same, or you just don't be like it when you're in the same room. You know I'm the love Cheryl when she ain't by me. I'm the love Cheryl when I'm with the guys. I'm not just the love Cheryl when I'm with her. You follow me? Sometimes we'll get in line when we're with them, you know, but when we're with the guys, well, better get home to the battle axe. Well, I better get home to the ball and chain. Well, I better get home with the old woman. Well, I better get home with the old bag. Well, I better get home with the old nag. You ever hear them terms? Huh? And that's the Christian way of cussing them. We need to serve and provide. You know, you ever think about serving your wife? Love the Lord, love our wife like the Lord loves us. Does the Lord serve you? Let me ask you that, guys. Does the Lord serve you? Do you serve them? Do we serve our wife? some thoughts, ain't it? Huh? Does the Lord help us? Do we help them? Do we help them do their job? You know, we expect them to help us. Hey, come give me a hand. Come give me a hand. And then they say, "We give them." I'm tired. Worked all day. We want our food delivered to our lap and our tea made and delivered to us, and we want all that. And maybe they should. But when do they get theirs? When are they waited on? When are they served? When do we go out of our way? Does the Lord ever go out of His way to bless us? Do we ever go out of our way to bless them? I'm just telling you guys, when we look at this loving our wives, we better look at what Scripture says and love them like Christ loved the church. All right, we better quit there for tonight. We're not done. We're not done, but we're going to quit there for tonight. All right, out of time.